good evening. It's good to be back here. Who wasn't here this morning? Show me your hand if you weren't here. Okay, there's a few of you. Well, if you want to know who I am, you can go on the website. and we had a great morning, and God did great things. You know, I really felt like I had a word from God this morning, so hopefully you felt that too. Look at this, options of drinks. You don't often get this.
Never get that.
Oh, really? It's options. It's almost like a Premier Inn buffet breakfast. Almost feel like there's some milk needed, or, you know, it's great. Awesome. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for Bishop Tony and Sue for inviting us down here today. He can sing, can't he? He's pretty good on that microphone. Sounded good, man. Come on. I didn't know you could sing. It's a bit of, no, he's pretty good. He's great. So it's great. I'm going to speak tonight about faith, okay, faith. And I'm going to just bring out a scripture or two, which hopefully will encourage you. For those of you who don't know, I'm going to really rush through this quick, just tell you who I am, what we do. I'm a pastor in Uttoxeter, which is about 3.5 hours north of here, in Staffordshire, almost close to Alton Towers. That's where people know us from. And I'm originally a Yorkshireman. I'm from Yorkshire, from Barnsley, South Yorkshire. Hey, James. And I'm from that little town. And then I moved to Staffordshire about 3 years ago. I'm now pastor church with my wife, Becky. I have one wife and one son. You have to explain that these days. You never know what's going around, you know. So, one wife, one son, and we also run a missions organization named One by One, where we basically reach children across the world. So we have a children's home in Kenya, have 200 kids, reach 10,000 kids a week, and then we're just about to build one in Pakistan, of all places, and we're rescuing kids out of brick factories, people who are enslaved to work in brick factories. We're literally about to negotiate to get the children out of the factories and into a children's home. I didn't mention this morning, but you know, because you might have been thinking, well, how do you get slaves in out of slavery? You know, how do you do that? So we have to literally go and negotiate with brick factory owners and ask if we can take their workers. So it's going to be an interesting thing, because when I was there, I saw with my own eyes the kids working. They work 14 hours a day in the heat and don't really get paid anything for it. And I said, well, has anyone tried? They have debts of, say, $2,000-$3,000 per family. I said, well, has anyone ever tried to buy them out of the slavery? And the guy with me said, no, well, no one's really had the money to do that. So, well, I don't have any money to do that, but I'm going to try and get some, and maybe we can help rescue some of these children. So that's my plan for the next 6 months, is to start negotiating to literally get these kids out and give them freedom. So please pray for me. You know, you guys are involved in other mission projects. I understand that. I'm not here to promote what I'm doing, but I am going to unashamedly ask you to pray for me, because we really do need prayer. We need God's favor. We need wisdom. You know, this is a dangerous country, 99.5% Muslim. So it's, you know, churches get blown up there on a regular basis. So doing what I do is pretty risky. So I really need your prayers. And if you hear some story that I had my head chopped off and I've been blown up, don't feel sorry for me, okay? I'll be with Jesus, so don't worry about me. So that's my rather light-hearted introduction. So I'm going to talk about faith. The title of the message tonight, if there is one, is It Doesn't Take Much. It doesn't take much. I'm going to tell you the story about a son and a father, and this little boy. We've got a toy going off. That sounds like some sort of demonic attack. There you go. Fantastic. Come out in Jesus' name. Or turn it on mute. Even better. So I'm going to tell you a story about a little boy who's in a real bad situation, and his dad is heartbroken. I don't know if any of you have had children go through pain. It is like the worst thing ever when your child suffers. My little boy, who's now 7, when he was born with severe complications of his bowel, and he had to have 5 operations in his first year of his life. And the first day he was born, the doctors looked me in the eye and said, "We don't know if he's going to make it or not through tonight." And it was like the most painful thing ever to know that my little boy, who was just 1 day old and had no strength and was completely helpless, could potentially be losing his life. It's like the worst thing ever when your kids suffer. As a parent, you would gladly take that pain for them. Okay, if your child's in a mess or in a situation, you would happily replace them and be there and take the pain. Anyone know what I mean by that? As a parent, yeah. It's important that you understand, if you're not a parent, just how that feels. So this story I'm about to tell you is about a boy, and he's got some real issues. He's got some real problems. And his dad is distressed. And his dad is desperate for his son to have a miracle. The story is actually a Bible story, and it's in Mark chapter 9, and it's in verse 14. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Mark 9, verse 14 says this: "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you? How long shall I be with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the dad of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' He said to them, 'This kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" So it's a story of a desperate dad whose son is demon-possessed, and that son gets a miracle when the dad gets him to Jesus. I don't know if you've ever seen any kind of demonic activity. I'm not here to preach about demons, but I don't know if you've ever seen that. I really believe that demons are real, okay? And I'm not going to do a teaching on that now. I could do, but it's probably not the right time to do that. But I really believe that people can become wrapped up in so many different things that they can actually be demon possessed. I was in Canada last week and I was preaching, and I went into the back room in the office, and there was a few people praying, and there was a lady there who was kind of sat down, and we walked into the office, and as soon as we did, a few minutes later, she started to scream out, and a demon manifested out of her, in her, in the pastor's office right there. And some of the people prayed with her, and she was set free. So I believe that demonic possession can happen, okay? But I'm not going to talk about that tonight, but I am going to talk about this: faith to see miracles. It doesn't take much. That's what I'm going to show you tonight. There's a famous verse in this scripture, okay? And this verse, which I read to you, you will have heard it. If you've been in church a few years, you'll have heard it several times a year. You'll have heard this phrase. Maybe it'll confuse you a little bit. But here's what it says, verse 24. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You ever heard that and thought, that's a bit of a strange statement there. I believe, help my unbelief. So in one moment, he's saying, I believe. Then he's saying, I have unbelief. So this dad, who's clearly desperate for his son to be healed, clearly desperate for Jesus to touch his, I believe God, but help my unbelief. Have you ever felt like that? This sickness, which has kind of troubled me for years, God, I know you can heal the sick. I know you can raise the dead. You can heal the brokenhearted. You can perform miracles. You can cause cancer to shrivel. You can make back pain disappear. But I really do believe that, God, but help my unbelief. That horrible job, which I've had for years. Man, I've hated working in this place for decades. And I know you're going to open up a new door and you're going to get me out of there and I know you can do it, but help my unbelief. Oh God, this marriage has dragged on now for 25 years. My husband, he'll never change. I've been praying for him at every prayer meeting. I've been asking everyone. He's been on every prayer chain and prayer email. And he's still a miserable, but God, I know you can change him, but help my unbelief. Can you say amen? I don't know why Pastor Sue was saying amen. Just joking. My prodigal son, God, he's so far away from you. By the way, you can never be far away from God. Just let me put that out there. People say he's far away from God. Nobody's ever far away from God. He's just a moment away. He's just a second, just a phone call, just an altar call away, just a prayer meeting away. God is so close to everyone. No one is far away from God. My prodigal son, he used to come to church, and now he's doing his own thing, and he's gone to drugs and alcohol, and he's just kind of turned his back on you. God, I see stories of prodigals coming back. I see stories of people getting saved. I know you can do it, God, but help my unbelief. How many know that faith can sometimes seem like a roller coaster? One minute you got faith. One minute God's going to move in the town. And then no one shows up to the evangelistic event. And it almost feels like, Lord, help my unbelief. Maybe you're contending for miracles and you do a prayer and fasting week. And you're praying and tonight's for night, there's going to be miracles and people come desperate and we believe you, God. And then no one gets healed and God, help my unbelief. You ever been there? We had a hilarious story in our church. This was before my time, but they tell me about it. We had a healing evangelist booked in. And you know, he kind of hyped himself up a bit like some of them do and kind of said, you know, I'd see miracles. And so the pastor had, you know, set the scene that this was going to be a real night of healing and miracles. And this lady came out for prayer and this evangelist, and she had a bad back. And the evangelist prayed for her, but she something happened to her in the meeting. She twisted a certain way and it made it worse. So we had to, this was, again, when I say we, the church, they had to get a wheelchair in to wheel her out of the meeting. So before the meeting, she didn't need a wheelchair. And after getting prayer from the healing evangelist, she did. Help my unbelief. You can have a bad night. I've been in the healing ministry around it for years. You can have some disappointing nights. You know, one minute you see someone get out of a wheelchair, the next minute you pray for someone, and it's like, oh, man, it can be devastating. Devastating. So Faith can seem like a roller coaster, like a yo-yo. One minute you're up, the next minute you're down. I believe. Help my unbelief. How many know that pastors and preachers sometimes go through the same struggles? Or did you think we're all perfect and we float around on clouds all day and we never have any problems? Man, if only that were true. Sometimes faith is hard even for a preacher. I wake up some Sunday mornings, I think, oh man, have I got to do this again? I think if I'm feeling like that, how must they feel? I'm the pastor. Christianity can seem tough. You can have doubts. I had a guy ring me up yesterday in my church, young guy. He said, I'm worried about my girlfriend. He said, she's having doubts about God. Should I get rid of her? I said, well, how old is she? He says, 21. I said, well, I've never met a 21-year-old in history who hasn't had a doubt about God. So if you get rid of her and you get a new one, she'll probably think the same. So I said, just give it a little while. Now, even King David, remember him? Yeah? Psalms 94:19, when doubts filled my mind. What? Thought you were the man after God's own heart who kind of defeated armies and killed people for God. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. Even King David had doubts. Okay? Even King David had doubts. So let's just put it out there. It's okay to sometimes not understand everything. It's okay to not have everything figured out. You will never figure God out, ever. If you live to 200, you'll never figure God out. He's God. Now, when you've been around the church world for a little while, sometimes discouragement can kick in. So this poor man who's trying to get a miracle for his son, he'd been to the prayer team already. Remember, first few verses? I went to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. This man has been to the best healing event in the world. The disciples of Jesus. I mean, that's quite pretty good, isn't it? You know, I mean, they're going to get a few preaching opportunities using that on their bio, aren't they? Oh, who was your senior pastor? Jesus. Yeah? They're going to pick up a few followers for that one. So it's a decent tag to be associated with. Oh, I used to be an assistant evangelist for quite a big ministry. Okay, who ran that? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know him? Yeah, okay. That's a decent prayer team. Okay? It's like when you go to an event, and I've had this happen to me because I used to work for Nathan Morris, and Nathan would be booked into an event and then would cancel, so they'd send me, and it's like the worst feeling ever. Because you sort of, everyone, you're in the worship and everyone's looking around saying, where is he? Come on. Third song, come on, he should have made his entrance by now. Where is he? And then like, he's not coming. And then the pastor gets up, well, we're really sorry, but he did send, and you can almost feel the crowd. Oh! One of my friends had to fill in one time for Reinhard Bonnke. And he said he felt so bad. Bonnke pulled out an event and they called him and he had to go and do it. So, this guy had been looking for the miracle, and it just didn't work out for him. Loads of faith. He's been to the prayer team. He's been to the disciples. He'd phoned up God TV. He'd had a handkerchief sent to him. I mean, this guy was a real deal. He'd been to the healing crusade. He'd been in the prayer line. He'd queued up for hours. He'd waited for the oil. I mean, he'd gone through everything. He'd called the numbers. He'd bought the magazines. He'd bought the books. And nothing happened. You ever been there when you really thought tonight was going to be your night? And tonight I am going to get my miracle. Maybe you've been in church forever. Maybe you've had everyone pray for you. You think, well, I'll go to him. Because if the preacher can touch me, it'll all be okay. And the preacher touched you, and you got worse. Maybe you've had a prophetic word, and that prophetic word gave you so much hope, but then nothing actually happened. And here you are today, and maybe you feel a little bit like this father. You still believe. I mean, you showed up tonight. It's a good sign. But Lord, help my unbelief. I struggle. I don't quite believe, God. I do believe, but I don't believe. I believe, but help my unbelief. It doesn't make sense. I know you can do it, but I'm slightly doubtful whether you can do it for me. Yeah? You been there? Here's the main point of today's message. This is a very simple message. I don't preach any other kind of messages. Now, you do need faith. I'm not trying to say you don't need any faith today, because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You need faith. But you don't need a lot of faith. And that's probably going to encourage a few people today, because you probably feel like you don't have enough faith to get your miracle. Jesus says in Matthew 17, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Maybe you feel like a rubbish Christian with no faith, with a little bit of faith. You're not the greatest worshiper. You sound like a dead cat. You struggle to pray. You find it hard to be motivated to pick up your Bible. You're too scared to tell your work colleagues about Jesus. You have anxiety, depression, oppression, and you think the world's a get. Maybe you're in that situation today. You think, there is no way God can use me. God doesn't want to use me. God doesn't want to touch me. Maybe things have got that low, but that's genuinely how you think. But let me show you something so beautiful from this passage of Scripture. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, was enough to destroy demons. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, was enough to get Jesus' attention. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, was enough to get that little boy healed by Jesus. That imperfect, broken, half-hearted almost, messed up view was enough to stop the Son of God in his tracks and get that little boy the miracle that he needed. How many know that God loves you to be honest? God loves you just to be you. You don't need to pray in a certain accent. You don't need to wear certain clothes. You don't need to impress the people around you with how you worship God. I remember when Reinhard Bonnke was kind of, you know, big. And suddenly, Pentecostals across Britain began to intercede in German accents. I remember in my own church when God would use someone, suddenly everyone would try and emulate them. And I was saying to James today, God loves it when you're you. He made you, you. I was trained by Nathan Morris for years. He led me to Christ. And I became his assistant. Then I became his crusade director. And we traveled the world together. And I was the best man at his wedding. And he was the best man at my wedding. And thank God for his life. Without him, I would not be standing here today. When I was sick in hospital, he drove 8 hours just to spend 2 hours with me and pray for my healing. So he's a great friend. However, I have never modeled my preaching style on him. We're very different. And some people say, well, you don't remind me of him when you're different. And that's okay, because God doesn't need another Nathan Morris. He wants me to be me. And God wants me to be honest. And God can see through fakes. He can see through your show. He can see through your performance. God wants you to be you. Maybe that's why this guy got his miracle Because he was just brutally honest. Well, I believe, but I'm not quite sure about this. Help my unbelief. And he just happened to admit that he needed a bit of help. Help my unbelief. But he found a little bit of tiny faith. Somewhere inside, there was some faith that said, I believe, God, you can do something. And that little bit of faith was enough to move the hand of God. That's all it takes to get God's attention. Tonight, maybe you're going through all kinds of different things. It only takes a little bit of faith to move the hand of God. John Calvin, the 16th century theologian, said, a perfect faith is nowhere to be found. So it follows that all of us are partly unbelievers. Don't ever despise your faith. Even if you only have a little faith, it can move God. God, I believe, help my unbelief was enough to crush demon spirits. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief was enough to bring miracles. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief was enough to see a little demon-possessed boy set free by the power of God. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief is the honest way most of us are deep down thinking. You might be saying, well, what do you know? It's easy for you. You're a preacher. You go around and do this and preach in churches and raise funds for missions and rescue kids. And, you know, this is what you do for a living. So it's easy for you to talk about faith. Let me tell you a little story. I wonder if, Lauren, you could come and play something. That'd be great. I touched on it this morning. But 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with an incredibly bad sickness. I'm just going to tell a little bit of a story, and then I'm going to finish, and then we're going to pray for some people because it's going to help you. But 4 years ago, life almost ended for me. Pretty bleak situation where they thought that I had Ebola. I came down sick in my trip to America, just been in Kenya, and they looked at me and said, you have every symptom of Ebola, okay? Every symptom of Ebola. Now, that's pretty scary words to hear. And they said, we're going to have to quarantine you for 3 days until we find out if you have Ebola or not. So during that 3 days, nobody's allowed in my room. My wife has to wave at me through the glass. My son can blow a kiss at me and write, I love you, Daddy, on a piece of paper. But nobody's allowed in the room. Nobody's allowed in the room. And they tell me that they looked at me and said, we're testing you for everything. We're testing you for HIV, meningitis. We're testing you for hepatitis. We're testing you for malaria. We're testing you for Ebola. So it kind of became quite scary. I mean, I'm hearing all these different diseases. And they said 5% of it can kill if you have malaria. And they came back and said, you do have malaria. I said, thank you, Jesus, because that's better than all the other diseases. Then they said, it's going to be, you're up to 20%. And they'd already said that 5% can kill. And then they said, after it was 20, 2 days later, they said, it's gone from 20 to 50 because your body has rejected the medicine. So it's pretty, this is looking bad. And if things aren't worse, they say, well, your organs are now going into failure. So your heart, your lungs, your liver, your kidneys, and your brain are all going into failure and will be damaged. So it's pretty bad, right? And I remember laying in that hospital bed, and life seemed so fragile. There was a camera in my room. It was just a CCTV camera, but I didn't realize that because I was high on all this stuff they'd been giving me. And my brain was so messed up, and my emotions were all over the place. And I remember looking at that camera. This was 4 years ago, this week. Looking in that camera, and I thought that it was recording me, even though it wasn't. I thought it was. I looked in the camera, and I said, Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be here to grow up. Not going to be here for you to have a son. I looked at it and said, Josiah, my little boy, I'm so sorry that you're not going to have a daddy. I'm so sorry that life is taking its toll like this, and I'm so proud of you, and you're going to get married one day. You're going to have a great career, and you're going to go around the world, and I just want to let you know that I'm cheering you on, and I'm so proud of you. And I literally recorded a message to my family because I was that certain I wasn't going to make it. Wow, what a man of faith. What a man of belief. Now, I'd been in a healing revival, remember? Remember that Bay of the Holy Spirit revival? I was there, seeing miracles every day, seeing people get out of wheelchairs, seeing people with tumors disappear. I'd seen it all. I'd put my hand on blind eyes and seen them open. I'd put my fingers in deaf ears and gone, open, and the people had heard. I've seen that with my own eyes and hands. I believed in healing, but here I was on the hospital bed being told by the doctor, probably 2 or 3 hours and then that's it, son. There's nothing else we can do. I was slipping in and out of consciousness. I wasn't eating. I wasn't drinking. It was over. And I said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. People often say, I've been traveling around the world for 4 years now telling the story. I've got a book, been on television, reached over 1 million people with the story. Radio, secular news, you name it. It's been everywhere. And people say, you must have had such great faith in God to get healed. And I think they think because I'm now a pastor and they think I'm going to give a really eloquent answer about what a great man of faith I am. I look at them and they're always shocked. I say, well, actually, most of the time, I thought I was going to die. And most of the time, I thought this is it. That's why I recorded a message for my relatives. That's why I recorded, I made plans and told my wife what to do. Because, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Real faith, guys. Real situation. Believe, but you don't. I thought that was it. But somewhere deep inside my spirit, somewhere I managed to dig deep and remembered those times I'd read my Bible and those times I'd prayed and those times I'd sought God, those times I'd seen miracles, those times I'd heard stories. And somewhere inside me, I dug just about deep enough to say, God, I believe. It was just a tiny little bit, but it was enough to move the hand of God. Mustard seed faith is what I'm asking for tonight. I think of my mother, who, faithful Pentecostal woman, brought me to church all my life. When I was a teenager, I rebelled against God. It was in the time of the Brownsville revival. And my mum would be watching it on television, and Steve Hill, remember him, the evangelist? He would be preaching against sin from the stage. And my mum would be watching it on television. Steve Hill would be saying, there's people watching on television. You're in sin right now. You got hidden sin. And he would be angry looking at that camera. And I'd be shaking with fear inside. Because I'd walk in the television into the room and the television would be on and fear would come upon me and I would slam the door in anger and say, I can't do this. I can't listen to this. And I would run out the room because conviction was so strong. A few years later, my mum was attending a church where Nathan Morris's dad was the pastor, and Nathan had just got saved. And he was preaching every week. She was telling me about this young man who was on fire for God. She said, one day you'll meet this man, and you'll be amazed because he's a young guy like you, and God's using him. And I went, I don't want that rubbish. And she would put his sermons on a CD player, and she would turn them up loud when I was in the room next door. And I was so angry. I would get the door and slam it. and say, don't play that to me. I don't care about your God. It's all a fairy tale. Anyone ever had a son or a daughter tell them that? I'd say it's nonsense. You're wasting your breath on me. Can you imagine how discouraged she must have thought? Imagine the pain of your own son who you've raised in Sunday school, reading Noah's Ark and Jonah and the whale, telling you it's a load of nonsense, slamming the door in your face, mocking preachers. And she never once judged me. She looked me in the eye and would love me and smile at me. Say, it's okay, son. Even when I would slam the door in her face, she'd say, I'm praying for you and I love you. And she told me later she would go into her room and cry. And yet she found just a little bit of faith that said, God, save him. Devil, get off of him. Jesus, touch his life. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And the day came when I came running back to God. And when she heard the news, she could not believe it. She said, wow, this is what I've been praying for. Now she's still my number one intercessor. And I travel around the world. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I feel that strongly tonight. If you've got a son or a daughter who's away from God, let me tell you something. Keep praying. Keep fighting. Keep contending. The battle is not over. Don't listen to the devil's lies over their life. We call them right now back into the kingdom of God. I believe. Help my unbelief. Was enough to bring a prodigal son home. Was enough to get a son delivered from demons. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief is all that God's asking you for tonight. Just a little bit of faith. In Jesus' name. Maybe you need a miracle tonight. Maybe you've heard something tonight and you thought, you know what, preacher? Yeah, that's me. I know that God can do it, but I'm a little bit, time, Lord. I've been here long enough. Tonight, I just want to encourage you. I'm an encourager. I tell some jokes, make people laugh, tell a few stories, but I'm an encourager. Tonight, I want to encourage you that God's with you. He's not forgotten you. And even tonight could be the night. But even if it isn't, preachers don't like saying this because they want everything now, today. But even if it isn't, keep believing God because the day is coming. In Jesus' name. If you need a miracle from God, just stand to your feet right now, quickly. Anything. Anything you can think of.